State Representative Pat Snyder, Chairman of the Committee on Children and Families. Nationwide, the number of children in out-of-home care has steadily increased since 2012, which research shows has predominantly been driven by the drug epidemic. Now, Wisconsin legislators are using this information to tackle the challenges of an overloaded child welfare system. Representative Barb Dietrich, chairwoman of the Speaker's Task Force on Adoption, is at the forefront of this discussion. The bipartisan task force was created in May of 2019 with a directive to travel the state to learn about the trends and the challenges Wisconsin faces. Now, the bills that the task force generated have been brought to the assembly floor. Today, we're sitting down with Representative Dietrich to learn more.
Welcome back to The Right Angle, the official podcast of the Wisconsin Assembly Republicans. Every week, we give you an inside look at the policies and politics that are driving conversations in the Capitol and across the state. As the Assembly gets ready to vote on 8 adoption-related bills sponsored by the Speaker's Task Force on Adoption, we'll get into the history of the issue in Wisconsin and learn about ways we're moving forward.
And welcome back to Right Angle. It is great to be here. I'm Representative Pat Snyder, and with me is Representative Barb Dietrich. Welcome to Right Angle, Barb.
Thank you, Representative.
Well, you know, we all enter public service with experiences that shape who we are as legislators and maybe what topics we choose to advocate for. Can you talk about your background and experiences that led you to get involved in this task force?
Prior to serving in the state legislature, I served as the leader of a faith-based nonprofit for 16 years. And in that nonprofit, we served parents who are raising children with special needs, disabilities, and the like. And it was stunning to me over the years the number of children that our group served who came to their families through the adoption system. And many issues of attachment to parents, issues of fetal alcohol syndrome and the like, really rendered those children to qualify as special needs. And so it was amazing to me the number of adoptive families I served in that nonprofit world. And what I would tell you is there was tremendous frustration around our adoption system because most of the children came through public adoptions. So it took a while for them to get out of the situation they were in and move to adoption.
Did you ever have trouble finding adoptive parents? Were they always there? And the system kind of derailed things and slowed things down? Or
I think from what I witnessed, the challenge maybe was more with finding foster care parents, which is a temporary home for those children. I think sometimes children would come through the foster care system to adoption, and there was no awareness that the child even had a special need. Or I can think of one instance where there was a baby born addicted to opioids because mom was abusing drugs while she was pregnant. And when he was a baby, the parents didn't really know what special needs he would end up having. But moving him through medical treatment and whatnot was extremely challenging when they served as his foster care parents. So I could see the frustration in the amount of time it took to get that sweet boy to permanency.
Right. I had something similar to kind of motivate me to get involved in the whole children and families and last session lead the foster care task force. And that's when I was in Marathon County Social Services on the administrative review panel. I served on that for about 3 or 4 years, and right then and there you knew that drugs were involved because of the cases we heard on the progress being made from the courts as far as ordering what the parents had to do to be reunified. There were times the parents wouldn't show up, the parents didn't follow through with what the judge wanted them to do for their addiction, and these kids are just left kind of in limbo. And I just thought that, you know, when you dig into this and you see the people that are in foster care that are having trouble, they never had parents to kind of teach them how to be a parent. So now suddenly they're coming up, and it seems to be a cycle all the time. And that's why I think it's so important, not only for the adoption task force, but for the foster care, to try to break that cycle and get these kids into a loving environment. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
I agree with you. And I've been grateful to work with you and Representative Doyle and really springboard off the previous work you have done regarding this issue. All of us hear a lot of talk about drug problems in the nation, and we don't stop to think that it's a wider implication than just the person who is abusing the drugs. And I really see this as trauma multiplied as kids wait for stable permanency in a home. Also, I'm a solidly pro-life person, so I want to provide good options for people to build families and give that child a chance at life.
Drugs are a common theme we hear about in child welfare and adoption systems. Our entire state, nation, we're grappling with this epidemic. Mm-hmm. How has that compounded this whole problem?
Tremendously. I definitely heard from my counties in how they are overwhelmed with this. And it's not only increasing the number of children we're seeing in care, but the length of time, because, you know, you don't just flip a switch and magically recover. There's treatment and there's relapses, and it's tough. One sheriff we heard from even talked about going into a house that they thought was abandoned and finding drug paraphernalia and drugs themselves within reach of a toddler. That's horrifying to me. And so I think it's definitely making the situation more challenging and lengthening the process. And so the question is, how do we be respectful of the parent who really needs help with substance abuse, but still be mindful of the child involved? I was very mindful as we ran this task force of trying to mitigate trauma for everyone while also being respectful of people's rights. And so I think we have to be willing to do that and not just default to the parent that's abusing a substance.
You know, during our task force hearings, we heard about open adoption. And, you know, the Department of Children and Families say, well, we have open adoption, but there is a difference, and we aren't truly an open adoption state. What's your thoughts on that, about the open adoption and how we can improve that?
Great question. And in fact, I'm so passionate about it that I decided to be the lead author on that particular piece of legislation. You know, there are organizations that would render more help in this state likely if we were considered an open adoption state. And so the difference is, what open adoption is an agreement between the biological parents and the adoptive parents saying, to some degree, we will let you know what's up with the child we are adopting. It might be as little as a note and a picture once a year. It might be way more involved, where you're just broadening the family and really including the biological parent. It's voluntary and it's totally up to you. But what this bill does, you can do that now in Wisconsin, but there's nothing set in the law. So it's not enforceable. It's not in code. And so this presents the challenge. And that is why we're not considered an open adoption state. And so I think we really need to codify these voluntary agreements between birth parents and adoptive parents so that we can make this a better option in our state. Also, if biological parents know there might be some post-adoption contact, they may be more willing to voluntarily terminate parental rights and go, you know what, you're right, I can't do this, and I want the best for my child. But knowing that they will be in touch in some agreed upon way is something they can live with, rather than getting to the point where they are involuntarily terminated. And that can actually move the process along relatively quickly.
Yeah, and because then the biological parent might be able to focus on their getting healthy from addiction and things. And, you know, and kind of a collateral thing out of this whole thing is grandparents, if this open adoption, might have a chance to see their grandkids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our Native American Wisconsinites really are good at drawing those bigger family circles. And so it's a good model to copy in that regard. And it's great for the kid to have those stable adults in their lives.
Yeah, we learned that this is truly a statewide issue, not just regions of the state. Can you talk about what the committee learned about adoption in terms of the statewide nature of the problem?
It's really interesting. It is a statewide problem. And one challenge I see is that we have 72 counties and they all approach this problem probably a little differently. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, they are facing very much the same challenges. Challenges with drugs don't favor, you know, any one part of the state. Or one part of the state may be having meth problems and the other is facing opioids. So it is a statewide issue, and I think it's something we each need to care about and really involve our communities in as well.
Yeah, that was evidence when we were out at the different hearings, and you'd have some county social services come in and say the state needs to be a little better at the open adoption, but then other ones came in and said, oh, we already have.
Yes.
So they were, you know, you could just see even with the counties, we're kind of not on the same page statewide.
Yeah, that definitely makes the issue more challenging. And when we're making policy here, we're making it for the whole state. There were common threads, though, through every hearing we had. Mm-hmm. Not one hearing did we avoid hearing about delays, the length of time it takes, frustrations with getting to certain points in the process of permanency and then having to go back to square one. That was extremely frustrating for people. And then, of course, the drug issue. Not one hearing did we fail to hear about drug problems or substance abuse problems. Mm-hmm. Alcohol is a huge problem as well.
Sure. And you know, it's part of it. If a child is raised up in the environment and they talk about adverse childhood experience, you know, being in the home of not only an addict, of an alcoholic, you know, that's an ACE. So you're right. There's so many things that can lead to that. Were you surprised at how, I don't want to say maybe the right word is behind, but when we hear about other states and what they have done to kind of make it more adoption easy, and, you know, some of the testimony we heard from people working with agencies out of Texas rather than here in Wisconsin. What did you think when you heard those testimonies?
That's always very disappointing to me. And I actually have somebody who lives nearby me who had such a horrible first experience trying to adopt their child here in Wisconsin that they did go down to Texas for their second child. And that just should not be. We do try to be deliberative and consider the trauma that the biological parents have gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wonderful. The pendulum needs to swing back to the middle where we are really caring more about the best interests of children. So I think we can do that in this state and not have people looking elsewhere to provide a loving permanent home for those kids.
Yeah. I know in our foster care task force, there was a couple that lived just outside my district in Wittenberg, and they adopted two young girls that were sisters. And that took them over 3 years. And we found from the statistics, if you're removed from the home, from that time until you're adopted, it's like 3 years or more. And these young girls' sisters were so afraid that their mom was going to come get them, and they didn't, you know, and those are stories. It's not a commonplace thing. And again, 60% are reunited. I mean, that's mm-hmm. I think as our state goes, or maybe the people in the state, they think we're going out and we just want to automatically terminate parental rights, and that's not the case. The case is the kids and what's the best interest. I don't know. What do you think? Do you feel like some of the folks don't quite understand the mission and that we don't want to just automatically make it easier, you know, but this is a last resort?
Yes, and I think this is a more nuanced issue than that. I think it's not black and white like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we do have the tools in this state to reunite families, and that is fantastic. You know, you get to a point where things are not moving along and you are, again, multiplying the trauma to that child by not putting them in a safe, permanent situation, like you described those girls, fearful. And I've heard many stories since we started the task force about situations like that, where it just took years. And the time it takes itself can be a trauma for those involved. Yeah. So that's disappointing and problematic to me.
You know, you had mentioned about the drugs before, and they kicked the really out-of-home placement started to pick up in 2012. Before that, kids are removed for a lot of times neglect or things to that nature, and it's changed everything. Because you sometimes parents will work at it, but then relapse. How do you think the drugs have impacted this whole situation?
Well, you know, addiction, again, is a really complex thing, and we want to give people what they need to succeed. But sometimes people need a little nudge to want to get better. And I think that's what we are trying to do with some of this legislation, is trying to say, hey, go get some help. If you are at the point now where your child is being removed from the home, here are the resources available. Go seek them out. When we don't really get honest with people at the start, there's no motivation to change and to get better. And that drug is so powerful over them, or whatever substance they're addicted to is so powerful over them, that it is to the neglect of that child. And the parent is suffering and the child is suffering. It just is not a good situation.
You know, and you bring up a lot of good points there. Not only has the Department of Children and Families recently put out some new numbers, outside organizations have studied this issue, both of which to confirm that drug and alcohol are some of the biggest drivers in out-of-home placements and increased length in these placements. You know, one of the toughest parts of studying child welfare and adoption systems for me was hearing the stories from the foster parents, the social workers, the judges, attorneys, about the situations that they've encountered, many of which were drivers of this whole legislation that we put out there. Can you talk about how some of those stories you heard made their way into legislation?
Absolutely. I think one thing I didn't anticipate as I was running this task force was I had the opportunity to do a court ride-along with one of my county court systems. And that was really enlightening with what we were doing on the task force. Coupled together, I could see how a court commissioner used trauma-informed care with some parents that were being brought in, had a child removed, they were repeat offenders. He was so kind and so calm with them, whereas I think most people would think you're going to have a judge yelling and throwing the book at them. And he just kept it really positive. It was good to see the tools he had at hand. And again, it was good to hear, as painful as it was, and there were, I don't have to tell you because you are on the task force, there were many painful stories and some unusual stories that you knew that were maybe more of an unusual circumstance. But hearing from every different angle involved with this process, I think was so constructive, because you could see, okay, what are the prevailing themes in this and where do we need to get to work? So I found that helpful. And especially, you know, again, this drug issue is a tough thing. So that was helpful. Also, you know, hearing about how jury trials are abused in the termination of parental rights, that was very eye-opening to me. And anywhere where we could see where here are the stumbling blocks, here's where things are getting hung up. At one of the hearings, they provided us with a flow chart of the whole process, a visual flow chart. And boy, wasn't that helpful. So you could see, okay, here's where this takes this much time and here's where this gets delayed. And I just found that incredibly helpful in kind of zeroing into to where to get started on this enormous problem.
Now that we've got the bills out on the floor and introduced them, it's kind of like the foster care task force. You don't think this job is done. We got to keep working on this.
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, I had people come to me after we were finished and give me grief and say, this doesn't do enough, you know. And honestly, when I got started on this task force, I had, you know, big hopes and dreams and goals. And, you know, being a newer legislator, I thought, oh, okay, this is great. We're going to attack this. And then you start to sit down at these hearings and listen to people and listen to the process and see all the details. And you realize you are dealing with something enormous here. And so I tell people, it's like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So that's kind of where we're getting started here, is just with that, the first few bites of that elephant. But I already have talked to people about what I would like to see and work on with them in future sessions. Or if you don't like certain things, talk to me. Let's roll up our sleeves and work together on this, because it's an ongoing problem and we're just getting started here.
Last question here. You know, when we study the child welfare and adoption systems, it can be truly challenging. As parents, it's heartbreaking to hear what some of these kids go through. Can you share what stuck with you the most from this task force?
Ooh, you're going to get the waterworks going here.
Well, you don't have any Kleenex, so try to...
You know, I don't know. It's just seeing families that loved children who were in their care and foster care, and having glitches in our system take that child back out of the home, that was very upsetting to me. And being put back in a situation that was not going to be good for them. I think that was really the hardest, one of the hardest stories I heard, and we heard that early on in our hearings. And just seeing situations where things didn't turn out as they should. You know, I think generally speaking, the intent with all parties involved is to get that child in the best situation. The way they go about it may not be the same, or how long people think it should take may not be the same. But I think there's that shared hope, and just to see some of these heartbreaking stories was a little tough. So I really hope that these bills can make a good start at remedying some of this.
I agree totally, Barb. I think we need to somehow change the thought pattern of the state from, you know, think of only the biological parents first, said flip it to what's the best interest of the child, what's the healthiest environment. If we can help the parents reunify, let's do it. But if not, we've got to think about the kids. And I think we're on our way. So you did a good job.
Thank you.
Representative Barb Dietrich, chairperson for the Speaker's Task Force on Adoption, has been our guest today on Right Angle. I'm Pat Snyder. Thanks for listening.
And that's The Right Angle on Adoption. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe. Just search for The Right Angle on iTunes and Google Play, Radio Public, Breaker, Overcast, and Pocket Casts. Have an idea for a guest or a topic? Tweet us at Wisconsin Assembly GOP. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.